Welcome to the Portage County Safety Council podcast. We hope you enjoy today's featured message.
Welcome to Portage County Safety Council podcast channel. My name is Nick Coya with Portage County Safety Council and the Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation. And this week we are once again promoting Ohio Safety Congress and Expo 2024. We are excited to see everyone down at OSC 24 to hear all the safety presentations and to see some of the latest, greatest innovations. And in an effort to get you, our listeners, even more excited about it, we're spotlighting what we believe are going to be some of the best presenters at OSC 24. Joining me on this podcast channel today is my partner out of Summit County, Carrie Gray with the Ohio BWC. Carrie, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks so much for letting me come to another one of these.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, this podcast channel, we've worked with Summit County Safety Council a bunch, so I'm excited to have you on with us. And we are actually talking about new drug trends threatening Ohio workplaces, and we have some really excellent presenters here today. So welcome to the show, Katie from SafeX and Allison from Working Partners. Allison, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes. Hi, I'm Allison, and I'm a senior consultant with Working Partners. Been around for over 30 plus years, founded to really specialize in all we do is drug-free workplace. We help companies to customize and implement both policies, including their testing, their assistance plans, and get them connected with other vendors that can help them have a safe and drug-free workplace.
Awesome. And, you know, Katie, you were SafeX. We do a lot of podcasts with SafeX. Excellent company. Tell us a little bit about yourself. It's the first time I had the opportunity to meet with you.
Yeah, hi. So I'm a drug-free workplace training consultant as well. Actually came from Working Partners, but over to SafeX when they acquired drug-free workplace training and education last year. I'm trained as a licensed professional counselor, but I don't actually practice that. So I just provide training here in the organization with drug-free workplace and the training coordination for SafeX in general.
You know, drug-free workplace is a big thing across the whole U.S., but it's an even bigger buzzword here in the great state of Ohio right now. As we know, there's a lot of moving pieces happening with marijuana laws. There's a lot of pieces happening in the workplace. It's creating a lot of questions here in Ohio for our workforce, both the employees and the employers. As we talk about this, you know, tell me, what are we covering here at Ohio Safety Congress and Expo?
Well, with the key trends, we're looking certainly at the marijuana and how things have been moving, certainly here in Ohio, as we all know, and a lot of our employers, we know, have operations in other states, and we know that the marijuana laws are a really diverse patchwork of how the law is written and what it says or not to employers. So certainly we want to look at that. We also, though, want to look at other key trends. Certainly, we know that, you know, for example, we hear so much about opiates and everything with marijuana, but actually some things a lot of folks don't have on their radar is what's been changing with cocaine and meth, with those overdose rates and that use going up. So we're going to be looking across all substances at our workshop.
You know, Carrie, I don't know if you're hearing it in Summit County as much as we're hearing it here in Portage County, but there's so many questions about what we're going to do with drug-free workplace and what are we going to do with all these changing laws. I'm sure you're probably hearing that over in Summit County too, right?
I am. I get asked probably at least once a week, well, does the Bureau put out anything? And the answer right now is no, they haven't put out anything yet. We're waiting to figure out, you know, what the folks down in Columbus have decided around, you know, the actual law itself and if it's going to change. So, you know, we're kind of waiting just as anxiously as everyone else. But I think it's really interesting because we are all just thinking, you know, marijuana is on the brain and that's all everybody's talking about. But I had just seen something last night also, like right along with what you said, with cocaine being on the rise. And that's not something that we really hear that much about. We were watching some other show and they were like showing about border crossing and stuff like that. And it was all cocaine that they were finding. Katie, can you tell us a little bit about that? I know you said you had some information on that.
Yeah, so what we're seeing, Quest Diagnostics puts out a drug testing index every year where they look at the trends in positive drug testing rates across the nation. And we're actually seeing increases in positive tests in the workplace. And I think what gets tricky as an employer for sure is, you know, we've got this legislation around marijuana. And of course, just like everyone's mentioning, we're very concerned about that. We hear about opiates, but no one's talking marijuana or no one's talking cocaine and amphetamines. And so it's easy to just flip the mind, especially when maybe drug-free workplace is one millionth of the things that you do in your job. And I guess that's what makes workshops like this so important, is because you can kind of get those things back on your radar. Not to say like go looking for it, like, gosh, no, but more so just, oh, I didn't realize, and now I can be aware, like any other safety issue.
You know, because the marijuana is a hot topic. I was surprised when we had our pre-show conversation and you're saying that things like meth and cocaine are on the rise when really nobody's talking about that. I don't know what you're hearing from your employers. Are they surprised by this increase when their focus really was probably on the marijuana changes?
Well, I'd love to say yes, but they always want to bring us right back to marijuana. So it truly is. And it's understandable that it's the hot topic. And that's part of our job, is to help people widen their lens across all substances while also preparing them for these changes that have been coming down the pike, right? And that law, you know, and I just want to say too, and I think everybody's pretty aware, I hope they're aware, Ohio has been very unique in their approach, both to our medical law and our now full legalization law. The employer protections written into those laws has been very strong. And with everything they're playing with at the State House, I shouldn't go on record, but I'm just going to put out my opinion. I don't think that part will change. You know, our State House tends to be very employer friendly. So while they are playing in that law, so far there's been no sign that the employer protections are up for grabs. So that means people can still have a policy, including all the way up to not here, and can still test for it and have adverse consequences for it.
Like Allison mentioned originally, there really is a patchwork with that. And so it's important, just like she mentioned, Ohio, because that is not the case in so many other states. And when you have an organization in multiple, then it starts to get really weird, right? Because in Ohio, I can say no, but in these other states, I can't. And by no means, I'm not an attorney, right? So I'm, you know, we've got these pieces of information to disseminate to employees and of course always bringing in legal consultation in those, but it gets extra weird, not only when you're in one state, but when you start looking across multiple.
And really, I think the goal here is we want our workforce to be safe at work and go home the way they came to work. And when these laws change, you know, it can trickle into the workplace. And that's the concern. It's about how does it affect our productivity? How does it affect your safety as an employee? But how does it affect the guy working on the line next to me too? My decisions can have a direct impact on them. And that's a piece that we have to find how to balance in a true drug-free program.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, the data totally supports what you're saying. Especially Katie had mentioned the drug testing index from Quest Diagnostics. And they've got some really great stuff if folks want to check that out on their website that really has underlined the reality of the law, the impact of the laws, where they've looked at positivity rates for marijuana in states with legalized just for medical, with full legalization, no legalization, and putting it against the national average. And every state with those legalization laws, their positivity rate is above the national average and has been increasing over the last good, you know, since 2012, really. And, you know, that's when Washington and Colorado went, right, to full legalization. So
are we seeing numbers in youth or are we seeing numbers in adults? Where are we seeing the driver behind drug usage, at least self-reporting of the drug usage?
I can tell you when I work with, because I also do some employee work, when I work out there in the employee setting and in other areas of my life where I do some other prevention work, I hear all the time is these kids these days, and the data does not support that. The increases, and we have been seeing increases in illicit drug use, are absolutely being driven by adults. And forever, our highest, no pun intended, but our highest using population has been 18 to 25. Theirs have been going up. The big surprise is what really matches the increase we're seeing overall is the 26 and older. And wow, the majority of those folks who do use are employed.
It's honestly, Carrie, to me, that's shocking, right? Because I know we hear it often, it's the new employees, it's the young workforce, they're driving our injuries, they're driving this, it's those young people coming in. That's what I hear with my employers. I'm sure you're hearing something similar too, but we're hearing something different now.
I do. I hear that a lot. And I hear a lot of folks say, well, if I drug test or if I pre-employment drug test, I'll never hire another employee. And I just, I can't imagine the numbers of supporting that. I mean, it's not everybody that's using, but that it is increasing.
And we're hearing that with the hiring crunch, exactly. The concerns with those pre-employment tests, for sure.
What are the most misused drugs that are happening out there? What are the three top misused?
For sure, alcohol still tops the list. And I think that I know in my training this year, that's still surprising a lot of people. Marijuana, of course, and then our prescription medications are still the top three. When we even look at the national survey on drug use and, is it drug use and health? Yeah, that self-report survey, we see increases in alcohol use and binge drinking and heavy alcohol use. So it's still prominent out there and still being widely used. It just comes with a little bit of a different perspective than other substances, for sure.
If I could jump in with that too, I mean, Katie gave the top three, right? Alcohol, marijuana. Number three is prescription. And the research shows more people across all ages doing number three alone than all the other drugs we haven't named yet combined. So there's a big drop down to number four and five, which, by the way, are cocaine and meth, and they seem to fight for fourth and fifth place constantly. And it goes way, way down before you ever get to heroin and fentanyl in the number of people doing it. Certainly gets more severe more quickly, but the number of people doing it, it's not nearly as prevalent as these other drugs.
So what do we do as employers here in Ohio? You know, we've identified there's a potential issue here. There's the potential risk of injury exists. So what do we do? How do we respond to this? What can you put in my toolbox for me when I go back to work?
Yeah, I think the big thing is really what the entire BWC drug-free safety program is built around, which is the five components, right, of an effective, meaningful drug-free workplace program. Three of those components are certainly a clear written policy that includes testing, which is another component, but hopefully the whole program is not just like a testing program. There should be other rules that connect to behaviors that aren't just connected to testing. And then having a clear assistance plan and identified an assistance provider. And then Katie, the other two, I know you work the most in.
Yeah, we do. So the employees really, you want to get in front of your staff, right? You want to create awareness, one, about that policy, right? Because the more we stay in front of our staff about what the expectations are and what the responsibilities are, the more likely they're going to follow suit. But also, when else do you have the opportunity to get information like this to adults? Like, you know, for kids, they get it in school, but we stop providing this information to adults. So by providing employee education, you're actually getting a captive audience for a period of time where you're reminding them about the policy, hopefully in an interactive way. And then you're providing, you know, relevant, engaging information, maybe on marijuana or binge drinking or enabling behaviors. And then you follow that up with supervisor training, because it does look different. You want your supervisors to get the employee education so they have the awareness piece, but then you build upon that in supervisor training where it's actually like, what is their role? I mean, are they, you know, what are the steps that they're supposed to take and to run scenarios? And that's the piece of the drug-free safety program I really love, is that it's a requirement that your supervisors are running scenarios, because let's face it, like, if you're in an organization where you're rarely experiencing problems, thankfully, you're not going to have the skills for handling those without maybe, you know, running some of those scenarios. So employee education and supervisor training would round out those five pieces.
Do you see a lot of companies engaging with the second chance agreements, or are you seeing more companies leaning towards one and done?
Oh, no, I haven't been doing policy for a while, but in the training and education portion, I do talk with them about their policy and sometimes train on it, you know, depending on where that policy was developed. And we see a lot of organizations that are about helping the person and getting rid of the problem and not getting rid of the person. And that's been really, really great to see. And plus, with the reimbursement opportunity that the BWC offers for companies that have a second chance program or offer assistance as the first option, that has really helped kind of key in like, oh, okay, this is more of a driving force. Allison, did you want to add something to that, though, with your work at Working Partners?
You said it really well. And with Working Partners, I can tell you, we haven't done like a formal survey of all our policies. A very high proportion of them do offer the help versus fire, even on a first positive test. And Katie said it well, we talk a lot about getting rid of the problem, not the person. But to do that isn't just about having like a last chance agreement or come back in 30 right. days. And if you can, and if you test negative, you're good to go again. It's really about that other component of assistance and having a clear assistance plan and protocols and an assistance agreement that both the employee and the employer sign. So everyone understands each other's role. I always talk about it kind of like, let's grab hands, so to speak, and walk down this path together. And you know your role and I know my role, and we're going to work together to get rid of the problem so you can keep the job and we can work well. I know years and years ago, working partners kept a testimonial book and had testimonials, not only from employers, but employees and even their family members, about the benefit of that change. And it can be very effective way to, it's a win-win, right? It's a win for the employee, for the employer and their family and the community, and certainly for the Bureau of Workers' Comp, because we're not just kicking the problem down the road to the next unsuspecting employer for then an accident maybe to happen, right?
And it's all about culture. And sometimes we sound like a broken record on our podcast channel about culture, but if we build a good culture, mm-hmm. we're going to help those in need. We're going to create a family-like atmosphere here to make sure everybody succeeds and they go home safe. And I know, Carrie, you've talked about this too, that if you have a strong safety culture, you have a strong positive culture, what's the workplace look like, right? What are injuries like when we have that strong culture there?
Yeah, and you're going to be more productive and you're going to have better quality and you're going to have lower costs. Like, it is all so, it's all together.
Yeah, and we have to find a way to build that culture in the organizations. And I think this is just another piece to building a strong safety culture as we move forward. Yeah, so as we get ready to head down to Ohio Safety Congress Expo, you know, we're all getting excited to be down there. We still got some time on our hands. We're going to start with you, Katie. What is one thing you want our listeners to go do before they get to Ohio Safety Congress?
Look at what your training and education programs have looked like over the last couple of years and really identify opportunities to get in front of your staff and come learn about what that could look like with us mm-hmm. in March.
Right. And Allison, what do you have them doing to get ready for Ohio Safety
Congress? I would add to that, if you're going to take that time to do employee education supervisor training, you don't want to waste the time. So I'm hoping that it's a real annual plan and not just jumping through a hoop to meet some requirement, that it's meaningful time like the work that SafeX certainly provides out there. So that with my piece, I want them to review their policy, including their testing, including their corrective actions. Know that coming in the door, especially for the three workshops we're going to be presenting, because we're going to be asking them, you know, what does your policy say? And if some folks, it surprisingly don't even know, right? So know what your policy says, know what your assistance plan looks like, you know, get a sense where those gaps are, because when you come to the workshops at the Congress, you might be able to get those gaps filled.
You know, with this being an ever-changing field right now, things are changing day by day, it feels like, as we watch the news and see it unfold here in Ohio. Katie, if they need some help before Safety Congress, before they can get down there, how do they get a hold of you? What's the best way to reach out to you?
Yeah, our website, safex.us, is a great opportunity for that. Within that, you can click our little contact us button, or you can give us a call. So we give you quite a few different opportunities for reaching out. And we've got a couple of people designated just to drug-free so that we can help answer those questions.
Perfect. And Allison, if they got questions on policy or they just want to reach out and work with you on some things, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Absolutely. Workingpartners.com is a nice one-stop shop. It's got a lot of good information about all our products or services, how to reach us. Certainly can call us with any question. Happy to try to help out.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to seeing both of you down there. I know I'm going to be hopefully having attending one or two of your workshops. I'm sure Carrie's going to be hopping in there also. Until we see everyone down at Ohio Safety Congress, I hope everyone stays safe out there and we'll see you soon. The Ohio Safety Congress and Expo, hosted annually by the Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation, is the nation's largest free occupational safety conference focusing on helping employers improve safety and health within their business. Over 7,000 attendees gain knowledge and earn continuing education credits by participating in over 150 educational sessions, workshops, and leading keynote presentations. Find the best solutions to your biggest challenges while networking with over 350 exhibitors in the Expo Marketplace. This year's event will be live and in person on March 27th through the 29th at the Greater Columbus Convention Center in Columbus, Ohio. For more information or to register for free online, visit their website at www.ohiosafetycongress.com.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. For more episodes, check us out on your favorite podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and more. To get new episodes sent directly to your phone or smart device, be sure to subscribe. To learn more about how your company can earn an Ohio BWC premium rebate by becoming an active member of the Portage County Safety Council, please visit our website at www.portagecountysafetycouncil.com.